It's all in the context. This morning's Bible reading, it's an Old Testament one, Isaiah. You know, we spend more time in the New Testament than the Old Testament, but this week in Isaiah. And Isaiah is a book that keeps looking forward. It looks at where we are, and it looks forward, even though it's an old, old book. And this morning's reading, it sounds like an inspirational speech given to a group of people who are ready for a task or for a big event or some kind of restoration. Because that's what it is. And this speech, if I broke it down into little parts, it was, "Listen, everyone, I've known this since before I was born. I'm ready to tell you. I wasn't sure I was ready, but I am. It's time for us to gather back to God. And not only us, but it's time for us to help everyone gather to God. So let's follow what God wants us to do." Maybe, you know, for simplification, because there's a lot of words in there, but that's the general idea of what's going on here in this speech from Isaiah 49. It's an uplifting speech. It's in the words there, and it's in the context of the words of all of Isaiah. But do you know what this morning's reading and the whole of the book of Isaiah have nothing to do with? They have nothing to do with abortion. I see a line in here that says, "The Lord called me before I was born, while I was in my mother's womb, He named me." And I hear pro-life, pro-choice people debating and arguing with each other about something that isn't here. But I've heard this verse used as, "See, if God knew Isaiah before he was born, then of course there is no way that we can ever allow there to be abortion." I'm gonna admit, wedge issues, especially ones like abortion, they are difficult at best. And people make difficult moral decisions all the time. But if we wanted to take the Bible in its ethic of life and say this is what the Bible really says about life and death, well, the Bible is pro-death penalty. I'm not. The Bible sees life happen here. The whole attitude of the Bible is that life happens when someone starts breathing. That's the science of the Bible. I know that the Bible is not a science book, but if we want to take science, we want to take things out of context, or we want to read things into the Bible that aren't there, we should read stuff that is there. And the Bible says clearly that life begins not at conception. Life begins when a person has breath. Science gives us some more explanations of that, and science makes things difficult to understand. Let's just say for now that Isaiah and all those verses that you see, there's just a couple of them actually, that say anything about when I was in the womb, you knew me, they don't have anything to do with the abortion debate. And all it does is muddy the waters and keep people from talking to one another and trying to find ways to do better. See, bending, breaking, otherwise twisting words in the Bible to fit a particular agenda, it's nothing new. It's nothing that we started here in 2014. It's nothing that was started in 1950. It's nothing that will probably ever end. And the debate as to whether someone is doing it, twisting, bending, or breaking words in the Bible in any particular context, is just as old as people doing it. We'd rather argue with each other than find ways through, I think. So Isaiah 49 has nothing to do with abortion, but it does have to do with some other things. Two in particular. One is turning back to God. "Now the Lord says, bring Jacob back to him that Israel might be gathered to him." So talking to the people of Israel, turn back to God. So there's one, turning back to God, and then reaching out and having other people do that. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Not to a few. Not to a select group. Not to the folks who are most like us. And what does that even mean? Everyone is us. We've talked about that before. So not to a few, but to everyone. That's the gist, this underlying meaning, this very forthright meaning in Isaiah there. And here on this Martin Luther King Sunday, we've got words from Dr. King that echo that everyone call from Isaiah. And it's part of his most famous speech when he says, when we let freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village, and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all God's children, black and white, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Every person. So there's a question before us. When we've got the words from Isaiah, we've got the words from Martin Luther King, we've got the words throughout the Bible, how do we reach out in acceptance, in welcome, in celebration of everyone? And it may be too simple, but let me offer this. We do that by mattering and by showing that all matter. Being a people who don't live in a bubble of this sanctuary, a bubble of St. Paul's United Church of Christ, but rather continually serving the community and each other. That other Martin Luther King quote that was part of the children's sermon today. Everyone has the power for greatness, not for fame, but greatness, because greatness is determined by service. Service, reaching out, mattering, show that all matter. That underlies who we are as a church, as Christians. I hope that it underlies who we are as human beings. Reaching out, mattering, showing that all matter, being a people of service. This week I looked at our mission statement. I don't look at it every day. I don't look at it every week. I only look at it every so often. I wonder if you do too. And it's been a few years since we put it together. But here's the mission statement of St. Paul's United Church of Christ. It says, in response to God's love in Jesus Christ, we seek a right relationship with God and other people through service in a caring community of fellowship, acceptance, and inspiration. Got a lot of the parts in there. You know, it starts off, in response to God's love in Jesus Christ, we seek a right relationship with God. All those words right there. What if you didn't say those? Would we still be a Christian community? What if you said, we want to follow God and reach out? Instead, it seems like there's an awful lot of words there that really mean something to a Christian community, or really mean something in Christianese, but I don't know if they mean anything to someone who just comes and looks and says, I wonder what this church is about. In response to God's love in Jesus Christ, we seek a right relationship with God. It sounds like a preacher preaching and not a person talking. Being a caring community of fellowship, acceptance, and inspiration. That sounds lovely. We even have a right relationship with other people through service in a caring community of fellowship, acceptance, and inspiration. I wonder if we have much in our statement, though, really about reaching out. I know that we've got other people there and service, but it still seems a little bit self-centered. We're a caring community. We're fellowship, acceptance, and inspiration. So y'all come and we'll be good to you. Got that. But there's a whole lot of, we're about being out of this building. We're about mattering and showing that everyone matters. And we do reach out. I mean, we can look right away at our benevolence giving. You know, in 2013, we gave more to benevolence than we've given, I think, at any time in the history of St. Paul's United Church of Christ. 2014 maybe is a different picture as we look at pledges for benevolence. They're significantly down from that year. But I do have expectation that people are going to give because we do have at least a sense of we want to matter in the world. And one of the ways we can do that without spending too much time and too much energy on our part is to give. But that service part, that service attitude, it's not really present enough, I think, in our mission statement. See, service is, it isn't about a particular thing or event or charity or justice agency that we give to. Service is an attitude. Sometimes I feel, no, not sometimes, I feel like we're missing it. Let's take care of things at home so that we can reach out to others. I don't think that it works that way. You have to take care of things at home and reach out at the same time. You have to matter and you have to show that all matter. We have to matter and we have to show that all matter. So I don't think that we're going to redo our mission statement this morning, but maybe it's something worth looking at and finding a way to shorten it and make it more about mattering and showing that all matters. Something like following God and reaching out as a caring community of attention, acceptance, and love. Following God and reaching out as a caring community of attention, acceptance, and love. I like that attitude. I like that flavor. And I hope that we can find ways to really do that with all that we are. Amen.